does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Impressively hot in Los Angeles right now. Really high humidity. Extremely uncomfortable. I feel like I'm living in a fucking wet dog. Today is worse than yesterday. Hi, everybody. Hi, welcome. Episode 101, huh?
Cyberdyne Systems Model 101. Podcast dick jokes. Become aware. Look, look, don't tell us you're drinking fucking coffee again. We had to listen to it the whole last episode.
Yeah, I'm almost done with it. I'm sorry. It won't be that bad, don't worry. Oh, I just ran a red light. Let's start off with some complaining. You know me. I like to complain. I'm guessing you like to hear it or don't mind it. I try to make my complaining funny. Kind of like Adam Carolla. In fact, I can almost see the Ace Man studio from right here. I just went over that bridge over here, Burbank. On Olive. Oh, yeah, this is the bridge. I go under this bridge right here, and I go down the road 1 mile, and there's fucking... I miss those guys. God damn it, I miss hanging out with those fucking Corolla dudes. That was fun. I'm so bummed that didn't work. I fucking tried so hard. It didn't work. The other day, what was it, Sunday morning, I went to this breakfast place down the road. It's one of those kind of greasy spoon. They got them all over the valley, and they're great. They're great for, like, a good hangover breakfast or something like that. It's a drive-thru. They're not a chain restaurant. I think there might be three of them. There's like something like, oh, it's like Norm's number three or something. I think I've talked about this place before. I usually go and get, because they are, they tend to fuck up. I generally get the same breakfast every time. Because I know they can handle it. I get something very simple. And even then, I have to reiterate my directions several times. And it's often still not correct. It's just, ham, eggs, and not even bacon. I get, you know, cottage cheese instead of hash browns. I still don't understand whoever came up with the concept of hash browns. Who wants fucking potatoes, you know, with your eggs, your bacon, stuff that comes out of farm animals? You know, you're stealing the eggs out of a chicken, you know, and eating the dead babies. Bacon, you know, was a cute little adorable pig, and then they, you know, smash his fucking head in, you know, with a sledgehammer, and then cook them, and you got your bacon. What's with the hash browns? You know, they're just potatoes. Who wants that involved? There's nothing breakfast-like about it. I don't know where it ever came from. Same with chicken and waffles. Whoever put that together? I don't know why you want, you know, waffles that are for breakfast with fried chicken. It's just weird. It's super dry. You put them both together. It's like you're eating a bucket of sand. It never made any sense to me. I don't get it. That was a hot breakfast take. Oh, I want a donut. Look at the donut. I'm driving my Safari Motor Inn from True Romance. Safari Hotel. Safari Motor Inn. I went there, and I thought I was going to get creative this day. I was like, I want a fucking, you know, I ate pretty. I've been kind of eating shitty. I got to stop. I want some fucking junk. I'm going to have a nice junky breakfast because I went to bed fucking hungry. I didn't eat nothing. The last thing I ate was like 6 o'clock. Oh, they're shooting something. Oh, they're filming at the Safari Motor Hotel. What the fuck? Or whatever the fuck. They're making a fucking movie. It's not a big deal. And as a matter of fact, I was at the fucking place. You remember I was in the movie True Romance. I show up at the fucking hotel. I beat the shit out of it. Bully, what the fuck? Yeah, that's right. James Gandolfini was, remember? He's just at practice. That got me really excited as a True Romance fan. Oh, what was I saying? So, I thought I was going to get creative. And I was like, you know what? I haven't had... I wanted blueberry a big plate of blueberry pancakes. I wanted blueberry pancakes. They didn't have them. I said, I'll take strawberry pancakes. Now, I go to the drive-thru speaker, and I don't know what the problem... I don't know if it's the speaker or if it's their head... Now, the headgear... they wear inside this place. Like I said, it's kind of individually owned. It's not a big corporation. But it looks very modern. It looks like something Britney Spears, you know, or Beyonce, you know, one of those dancing broads, a dancer, singing around. They can't hold the microphone. Like, you know, Kirk Fox, I'm a stand-up comic. I got to suffer the indignity of holding the microphone. But, you know, these bitches running around singing, dancing, sweating, titties getting all sweaty, glistening in the stage light. They can't be bothered to hold the microphone because they got to be throwing their hands all in the air and shit like they're at church. So, they put one of those Burger King headsets on. Hello, can I help you? What would you like to see? Me wiggle my ass on the stage? All right, I'll do it. Check it out. Grab your cock in your pants and stare at me. Maybe you came to the concert with your girlfriend. You didn't want to come. She dragged you here. But at least you get the visual splendor of, Beyonce's ass and wet cooch shaking around up there on the stage because she don't have to hold the microphone. They have very nice, intricate headgear at this place. So I don't know where the communication breakdown is happening, but every week it's a fucking struggle, and I'm like, they don't have a put-together, it's very strange. Most of their stuff is like a la carte. They don't really have like breakfast packages put. I can't get a number one, like fucking, scrambled eggs, sunny side up with some toast and some, they don't have these like pre-made things. So strawberry pancakes are like standalone. And I'm like, can I get an order of strawberry pancakes?
Strawberry pancakes?
Yep, strawberry pancakes.
Oh, okay, $10.99.
Well, I want more. Can I get eggs? And they're like...
You want eggs?
Yeah, eggs, scrambled.
How do you want the eggs?
Scrambled.
Okay, that'll be $11.99.
I'm like, okay, can I get some bacon?
Do you want bacon?
I'm like, everything I ask, like I was asking them to put fucking cocaine on it. I'm like, yes, these are breakfast items. Do you see what I'm doing here? I'm trying to put a breakfast dish kind of thing together. Lady, I want pancakes and eggs and bacon and an orange juice. And this followed all the way through with every fucking thing I asked. They asked me like I was asking for a fucking, something that was off the menu. Like a fucking, a steak or something they had to go get. Like a fucking steak or whatever the fuck. I'm like, how hard is this? It's breakfast. I get to the order. Pull up to the window. Now, they take a while. I understand. They take a while to do it because it's all kind of made like fresh to order. It's like you're getting a real breakfast like you'd get at a fucking restaurant. And she's like, takes a credit card. She's like, can I get you anything? I was like, yeah, a couple of syrups. Now, they gave you syrup in these packages. Kind of like a ketchup package, but bigger. Decent size, but not a whole hell of a lot in there. Now, I'm getting pancakes and eggs and all this shit. And I need fucking syrup on it. And these motherfuckers, you goddamn motherfuckers, every time I go to this place, I've said it before, Mexicans do not like to give condiments. They don't like giving you ketchup, anything that you need for your meal. It is like fucking pulling teeth getting it out of them. So I have to tell her fucking every time I go, because I usually, like I was saying, like Barack Obama was telling you earlier, I usually just get ham and eggs because they can't really fuck it up. It's just enough food. Oh, and instead of the hash brown, when Kirk Fox was talking about the hash browns, I get cottage cheese instead. Did he say that? I can't remember. I get cottage cheese and a hash brown because hash browns don't make any fucking sense to me for breakfast. I can't fucking stand them. I never did. Never got it. But this time I deviated. I said, yeah, a couple syrups. So she brings the food. I said, is there syrup in? I go, can I get an extra syrup? She goes, oh, I already threw two in there. And I was like, two? Like two is barely cut. Ponderous is fucking ponderous. Two barely cuts it. But I'm like, all right, I'll take two. So I pull over, and this is pathetic. I pull over in that little neighborhood. This is my fucking Sunday. This is my Sunday routine. I mean, not every Sunday, but sometimes. I pull over in that little neighborhood right there near the thing, and I park under a shady tree, and I eat my breakfast in my car, and I listen to a fucking podcast. I would listen to Brendy Snell's, but that motherfucker, he's never putting up shows anymore. He's so sporadic. He'll put up like three or four in a couple weeks, and then he won't do any for like 4 months. I'm like, fucking A. Come on, B-E-E. He's great. I fucking love Brendy Snell's. He's such a fucking cranky old queen. I love it. He hates everything. But I agree with like 90 fucking percent. He's even a fucking Trump sympathizer for being a gay. But I pull over, take out the food. First of all, this fucking bitch gave me one syrup. One. I'm like, I go, motherfucker. And I fucking punched my steer. I was so fucking mad. I'm like, I specifically said two. I just paid. The fucking breakfast came like because I had to a la carte it. It was like $16. It was so expensive. And now I'm not getting enough syrup for what I fucking paid for, right? I opened I'll put a picture of this on my Flickr. I need to move. I don't know if I'm going to make a Facebook page. I need to do something because it's hard to find this pot. Whatever. This is all behind the scenes shit. But I need to. You better get organized. Quick. Or Departed. I can't do it as good as Roach can do it. God, he does a fucking great Nicholson in Departed. Holy shit, he sounds just like him. He can do yelling Nicholson like I can do yelling. Oh, he actually yelling Duvall. I can only do him when he's yelling. Coffee. I opened the pancakes. First, there's one syrup. Then, these were not strawberry pancakes, which they charged me exorbitantly for. It was pancakes with fucking strawberries thrown on it and some whipped cream. I'm like, this is not fucking strawberry. I could have done this at fucking home. This isn't strawberry. They're supposed to be in there. They're supposed to take strawberries and put them in the mix. Don't forget, let's go back to the beginning. I wanted blueberry anyways. I settled for this, and they fucked me in the ass. Fucking strawberries. It was basically like a Belgian waffle only with pancakes. No! Not what I fucking wanted. Then I continued taking out the items. They gave me... You should have seen the fucking scrambled egg. These guys, they were so... It looked like a fucking abortion. It was an abortion, Michael, an abortion. Because I wanted eggs, and this must all end. The Sicilian thing that's been going on all Sunday morning. Oh! Slapped him in the face. You won't take my scrambled eggs! They were in a plastic carton, like you would put like a dessert to go. Like if you went to Cheesecake Factory and got like a fucking piece of cheesecake. They were in a plastic clear container. Just like sliding around, and they were the most. It looked like it was one half of one egg, and it was. I should have taken a picture. It was so fucking gross. I didn't even eat them. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then they took my bacon, which was so fucking dry. It was drier than Michael Keaton's hair in fucking Tim Burton Batman. It was fucking. There was like zero moisture, and they were in a little goddamn like one of the little like cardboard side dishes you'd put a little thing of fries in. I'm like, you got done fucked up. I was like, this is a fucking breakfast disaster. I was so fucking mad. Now, I ate the...
Luke, did you eat the fucking pancakes?
Yes, I did, and they weren't that bad. The strawberries were good. But, you know, it was not what I wanted! Remember what he yells in Godfather 3? Vincent, will you shut up? Wasn't what I wanted. Wasn't what I paid. It tasted like fucking lies. That's what happened. It was a false bill of goods. They told me strawberry pancakes. I got pancakes with strawberries on them. Which is not what I want. It was as phony as Michael Phelps swimming against a shark. Did you see that? All week, this fucking shark week. Every year, they try to top themselves with this bullshit. They took fucking Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, and they were like, Michael Phelps is going to swim against a shark. You guys are not going to lose. I'm like, oh, wow, they're going to make some kind of custom pool with like a fucking glass like divider between them. And they're going to actually have him fucking swim with a shark. Now, you know, safe, of course. But no, you know what they did? They had the shark swim completely separate in a different tank. And timed it, and then they had Michael Phelps swim against a CGI inserted shark. Can you fucking believe this? What fucking asshole? Like how fucking embarrassing. Like, really? That's what happened. It was like the Michael, you know, like the Michael Phelps shark of pancakes, of breakfast. You know, they lied to me. There's one thing I hate, it's liars. I like Kirk Fox's episode. So that's what happened. I got another complaint. Now, this is one of these, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, just a fool can't get fooled again. You know, fool me once, shame on me. I went to the beach with Stryker on Sunday. Again, it is 90 and sunny when I fucking leave my house. And when we get 4 miles from the beach, it looks like the coast of fucking Ireland. Cloudy, overcast, windy, shitty, motherfucker. And you can't see it until you get over, like, the hill. Like, you're already three-quarters of the way there before... It's really weird if you've never been to California. There's this weird bullshit where it's, like, it's shitty right to the edge of the fucking water and right at the beach. But, like, 4 miles away, it's, like, fucking... It's like a sunny day. It's very weird. And there's no way to really tell when it's happening. It fucking sucks. It's a waste. I'm like, fuck me. So we went down there anyways... And I'll tell you what, though, I will say this, because it's the second fucking time within 1 week, same beach, Hermosa Beach, where the fucking chicks are supposed to be. Again, no fucking hot chicks. It was all fatties and families. I'm like, we might as well went to fucking Malibu. At least the drive is prettier. It's easier to get to than having to sit on the fucking whatever. Or whatever the fuck. But the water has been... Now, the water here is ice. I mean, ice cold. It literally feels like a bucket of ice water you're walking into. It is bone. Like you can feel the pain in your bones from the fucking chill. It goes right through your goddamn shins and shit. It is fucking brutally cold here.
Luke, then why the fuck do you go in?
Because it's fun with the waves and get thrown around, you know, the waves and the water, whatever the fuck. And you get thrown around by the waves. It's great. So I put up with it. But this year has been almost freakishly warm. Still pretty cold, but a fuck of a lot warmer
than it normally is. Anyways, we're down there. It's turning into a waste of time. I get hit with this. Now, I get this every once in a while, and it's a summertime thing. I want a chicken Caesar salad and a margarita. This is old. Look, I thought you quit drinking. I'll have a margarita. You're going to have a fucking beer. I'll have a margarita at a Mexican place with my food. All right, you want to know? You want to hear some fucking? You want to hear some dirt? You want to hear some scoop before it comes out on fucking TMZ? I did when my brother was here. I had two drinks, man drinks, at Scotty's house. 1 week before my 1 year anniversary of quitting, I had a little thing of Jameson on the rocks, and then I had a little thing of Jack Daniels and Coke. I spread them out, didn't chug them, felt weird drinking them. And the next morning, I felt it. When I went to the beach with my brother, I felt the woos in the shit. And I was like, that, you know, that's the reminder I needed. I just felt poisoned. Poison my eyes. A cheap cigarette hijacking son of a bitch. I want my money. It was a painful and useful reminder of, hell yeah, this is why I don't drink. I hate this. I don't ever want to be like this again. It was gross. And I think, you know, I think I'm good. I mean, it was nice just chilling and having one drink or two, but I'm just like, no, I'm not, you know. Maybe that'll be my 1 year anniversary every year. The weekend before, I didn't plan this, but the weekend before, the last Saturday in July, I'll have one or two fucking drinks just to remind myself how shitty a hangover. It wasn't even that bad, but I could feel it, and I don't need it. I don't fucking want it, I don't fucking need it. Fucking Tigers! I'm all over the place in this episode. And I said, I want a chicken Caesar salad and a margarita. It's very specific hunger, and I wanted it. And I said, let's fucking go, and we're going to go to this. That's all Stryker talked about. He was talking about Chili's like we were going to, like, a male strip club. He's like, I can't believe we're fucking Chili's right now. I've been to Chili's in, like, 5 years. I didn't even know there was one out here. I'm like, all right, Jeff, we're going to Chili's. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ, we're not going to the fucking moon to eat. We're not going to the moon. It's a fucking Chili's.
Luke, isn't this the same chili from last episode you complained about? You went with your brother.
Yes, it is. What am I doing? Went to this Chili's. This time, it was a lot more busy because now it's a Sunday afternoon. We sit in the same section and have the same waitress as last time. We sat there for like 15 fucking minutes waiting at a dirty table no one would clean. Probably a dozen servers and other people walked past us, looked at the table, looked at us, kept walking. Fuck them. Fuck those guys. They'll be all right. I'm like, oh my God. Even Stryker's pretty goddamn impatient. He's like, is anyone going to fucking come take our drink order? I'm like, no shit. I'm like, why the fuck did I come here? I look at the menu. They don't have Caesar salad. Not even Caesar salad. They don't have chicken Caesar. I'm like, what fucking restaurant doesn't have Caesar salad? A place like Chili with a whole, you're supposed to have a whole salad menu. They got every other fucking crazy salad. You could, like Abraham Lincoln's beard salad, but not a fucking chicken Caesar. This was a fucking foreign concept to them. I'm like, fucking, you gotta be shitting me. Now I'm stuck with this fucking crappy service, and I can't get the fucking salad that I like. All right, then I will take my a distant second, but I'll take it. A fucking chicken fajitas, chicken sizzlers, if you know, as I refer to them as. My childish fucking nickname for them. And a margarita, okay? She brings a margarita. In a fucking pint glass. There's an entire individual standalone margarita menu. And these festive glasses. Margaritas taste different when they're in a margarita glass. I'm paying specifically for one. And you bring it to me in a fucking pint glass like it's a Coke. I'm like, what the fuck? And it doesn't sit right. It gets all clumped up. I like blended margaritas because I'm a fucking child. I like they taste like a fucking slushy from 7-Eleven with some alcohol in it. I'm like, fucking assholes. Asshole, Rooney, Rooney, Ed. So I'm just getting more and more fucking pissed. Now, they take forever to bring the food, and these are some of the worst. You know what? There must be a brand of like some kind of prepackaged chicken, like a company out there that caters to restaurant chains. I don't know how to make a restaurant to restaurant chains. Because when I remember when I went to see my mom in Florida, I can't remember which if it was last time or the time before, but we went to this fucking. It was like a bar pub type restaurant down there. Like it wasn't like a hole in the wall. It was a one off, but it was very, they had a lot of money. It was like not upscale, but it was a nice fucking place, you know. There's a lot of those in Florida, at least where my mom lives. It's mostly a bar, but there's a restaurant in it, and it's kind of schmancy. But it was the same exact, even the little side tray full of the accoutrements for the fucking fajitas that has, like, you know, the goddamn the cheese, the pico de gallo / salsa, which I don't use, the guacamole and the fucking sour cream, right? It's on this little side dish, and they even had the same side dish. But this chicken and everything, this entire presentation of this fajita, which did not come out sizzling at all, which is part of the presentation, part of the magic, looked exactly like this one in Florida, and it looked like it came out of a microwave. Like, the chicken didn't even, like, look cooked all the fucking way. I was like, what in the fuck is this? It's supposed to come on a big sizzling tray, like it just came out the fucking grill, like the chicken was still fucking kicking 2 fucking minutes ago. No, this is what I get, this fucking bland-ass, shitty fucking, I don't know, look like lunch meat. I'm like, it fucking sucked. It was terrible. I was like, I can't believe they fucking served that to me. I'm like, this is fucking, Luke, did you eat it? Yes, I did, just like the goddamn pancakes. Yeah, I'm a rollover bitch. Just fuck me in the ass with your bad service and everything else. But that was just like, now, conversely, I'll say this. A shining star in a sea of bad service, bad food, everything else in the greater Los Angeles area is the Mel's over at the corner of Kester and Ventura Boulevard there in Sherman Oaks. Mel's 50s Diner, mostly known for their burgers. I also went there twice in the same fucking week. And both times, as is every other time, exemplary fucking service. They are all over you. They give a shit. Great fucking good attitude. Great fucking food. Never let me down. Great for breakfast. It's not packed. I don't know what it is. LA loves their motherfucking breakfast on a Sunday. On a Sunday. Like that Denny's by my fucking house over here by, was it Lancashire and Burbank Boulevard? There is a line down the fucking block like it's a sci-fi movie opening. I don't know why. It's all Mexicans. I went there once with the slob to get breakfast. And I seriously almost had like an anxiety. I had to get out of there. It was so, it was just a fucking, such a maw of humanity in there. And it is so fucking over. Another place, I don't know when this started. Maybe it was always a thing and I never noticed, but it is so overlit. They have these fucking lamps hanging over the table, blasting it with fucking light, like fucking Robert Richardson lit it. It's like, there's so much light blasting you from everywhere. It's like so oppressive. I'm like, why is it so fucking lit up in here? Who wants this much fucking light in their face when you're eating? So you go to fucking Mexicali, it's nice, it's almost like candle lit in there. It's so, it looks like you're eating in fucking Dracula's castle. It's so fucking dark, you can't see a hand in front of your fucking face when you're eating. You can't see anything, it's fucking wonderful. It's just calm, nice, big booths where the back of the booths are super tall. You can't see who's fucking behind you. You could have goddamn David Lee Roth eating behind you. You don't fucking know. Because you get a little privacy, a little darkness. It's intimate, nice, relaxed. That's how I fucking want it. I don't want to look like I'm eating in a fucking surgical theater. We sat there to fucking eat. I guess this is the Luke complains about food in restaurants fucking episode. What the fuck happened? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? You're listening. We sat there. I'm talking about the Denny's the time me and the slob went for breakfast. And like we were sitting right by the, like the, you know how Denny's is where there's like a row of seats that's kind of like pretty close to like the prep line where they cook. And the fucking cooks and everybody behind the prep line and shit near where we were sitting, it was so loud in this place. And there's just like these like families of like 14 waiting to be seated. It's just cramped. People waiting everywhere. It was like one of those Tokyo subways. You ever see those things? There's actually a guy whose job it is to push them onto the thing with a stick. The fucking subway cars get so full, they push people in with a stick so the doors can close. I'm not kidding about this. It was jammed and it was loud. It was overlit. And the fucking, like just the noise, it was so uncomfortable. And the guys on the prep line were so loud. I know you won't believe it. Loud Mexicans, right? Just yeah, like like somebody started playing a guitar back there. I was like, what the waitresses? I mean, everyone was so loud. Everyone working in there and then in the kitchen were just fucking like yelling and screaming and laughing. It was just like I couldn't take. It was like sensory overload. I'm like, I have to get out of here. I swear to God, my skin was crawling. I swear to God, I was like, we gotta go. I have to go. I can't take. She was like, I know. She's like, I'm about to say the same thing. I can't fucking take it in here. So she got her fucking 12 pounds of food. You know, that she got, and that was just for starters. That's a joke, folks. What? Turning into fucking Nick DiPaolo. So where was I? Chili's sucked. Mel's was good. I think that's it, right? Is that everything I was going to talk about? So yeah, I went back there again, and it sucked, and it was terrible. That was on Sunday. So I come home, because Saturday, I don't know, I went to fucking bed late, I slept in late, and it just threw me off for the whole day. I didn't want to do shit. I mostly just fucking laid around. And like, it's been fucking humid, and I know I sound like such a fucking pussy, and I am, but when it is hot, and it's humid here, because it comes out of desert heat, I'm fine. Dry heat, if it's 100 fucking degrees, I'm fine. I can sit in that shit all day. I'd rather it not be, but I can take it. But this fucking humidity, you don't want to move. I'm telling you, I don't want to get out of my car. Like, my AC is fucking blasting in this thing. I don't want to get out. It's like, you get out and it's like the air forms a fucking, like, a fist of heat and punches you in the fucking face and, like, gives you a noogie and rubs your fucking hair. That's how uncomfortable it is outside. It's oppressive. It's awful. I didn't want to fucking leave. Luke, you sound like a fucking baby. You're in California. I know. But I'm saying, like, it's such a drastic slam from, like, nice dry heat into that fucking humidity. It's fucking brutal. You just start sweating. You just feel yucky. I'm telling you, you feel like you're in a fucking someone's armpit. Or someone's Brad Pitt. Yeah. Oh. So I get home just in time that I forgot my man, Mr. Rocha, Mr. Eric Rocha, stand-up comedian. Good guy. Follow him on Twitter. What is it? E. Roche? No, that's his email. I don't know. Find him on Twitter if you want. Eric with a C. Rocha. Yeah, he's not that funny. He doesn't tweet that much. He's funnier in real life than he is on Twitter. He's one of those guys. He's a fucking piece of shit. But he had a show over at Flappers, and he's like, yeah, I got a show tonight, man. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll come. I'll fucking come. It's like 7 o'clock on a Sunday. So I went over, and while we're waiting for him to go up, back in that Yoo-hoo room, which I don't like, I am so behind on stand-up, by the way. Holy Jesus. Anytime someone comes out to visit, Dave, I don't know what, I know, there's another, like, this is just, have some self-discipline, you motherfucker. But, like, I can't, it throws off my fucking, like, schedule and all my stuff so bad. It's so hard to get it going again. It's bizarre. Like, when my fucking mom, and they were out, my brother's only out for, like, fucking 4 days. And my mom and Rich White, they were here for, like, 7 or 8. And I just, like, the whole month of April, I could not get back into anything. The only good thing was I ate so bad, it finally broke me. And I was like, I have to stop. I ate so bad, I felt so gross that I've, like, changed my fucking diet. Now I've lost fucking 10 pounds since then. I think I lost 12. I think last time I weighed, I was 212, man. So I was trying to fucking bench the other day, and I was struggling. I was struggling with fucking 225 on bench, and I'm like, God. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm benching more than I fucking weigh. You know what I mean? I used to do 225 like nothing, but that's how much I fucking weighed, right? That, what a non-point that was. I'm sorry. That was fucking stupid. It was a dumb question, Striker. Ignore that. Anyways, whatever. Go back to the thing. We're waiting for him to go up in this back room, and there is a now. And I've been behind on hitting on chicks. Now I've been under the tutelage of Stryker, who is very good at just walking up to girls with the worst pickup lines and the most blatant stuff imagined. Like, he'll literally just say, "Do you have a boyfriend? Do you want to go on a date?" And they get all giggly, like, "No." He's like, "Yo, let's go out." And then he goes, "I mean, fuck these girls. I can't. It's ridiculous." So I have been out of practice because the whole previous weekend my brother was here and stuff, and I couldn't really. It's weird, you know, with him. It's just you can't really do it with him. But plus, it's not, you know, your fucking family's out here. You're not supposed to be out here really carousing and whatever. I was trying to be a good fucking host. I'm like, hang on, let me go talk to this girl and shit. And then what if the girl wants to come hang out with it? It's like me and my fucking brother. Like, I don't want some fucking straight. What if she's annoying and all this kind of shit? There's a black chick with fucking big old ghetto hoop earrings. This chick's, she had a little chub to her, but she had nice fat tits. She had nice fucking juice. She was in these shorts that were cut way the fuck up, right? I mean, not like jean shorts, but just like those shorts that just show off her booty really good and didn't cover up much of her. It's nice legs, fucking pretty girl. And she's sitting across the little waiting area with this older black gentleman who was, I guess, which I found out later, was this guy named T-Rex, who was the headlining comic. Girl's fucking beautiful. And I'm like, God damn it. God damn it. I am not leaving without fucking talking to this chick. Like, there's always like one. Like, we'll go on a Saturday night and there'll be one where I'm like, that's her. That's the fucking one. I'm not leaving until I fucking talk to her. I don't care how much of a shithead I make. I can't take this going home and going, gee, what would have happened if I talked to her? Or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm like, you could find, like, this is how people meet their fucking, like, future, like, wives. Like, people date and do a thing for years. From this. It's like, if you never, you know what I mean? This kind of thing. I'm just like, you're fucking blowing it. Talk to these fucking people. Go home and just regret this shit. So I'm like, I will find the time to talk to this chick. In between, Eric's going to go up and do fucking 7 minutes this whole time. I'm trying to plot when I'm going to go up to this girl. I make it much more harder than this because I'm fucking terrified. I hate it. I hate bothering people. I don't want to bother her. That's my biggest thing about it. I'm like, she's just fucking here trying to, she wants some fucking guy, whatever. But that's usually the impulse that keeps me from doing it more than anything. Besides the fact that I'm terrified of being shot down, which they're never like me. They're never like, get the fuck away from me, ugly fuck, or anything like that. I don't know what. I mean, I can get up in front of a room full of fucking strangers of 30 people and talk about my fucking dick or doo-doo or shit. But I can't walk out to a girl and just be like, hey, I think you're pretty. Why don't we get dinner sometime? What the fuck is the problem? What's wrong with me? I don't know, but it's hard. A lot of guys have that problem. A lot of people know what I'm talking about. I have an easier time doing stand-up than I do just talking to a girl. It sounds fucking silly. It doesn't make any sense, but life doesn't make sense, does it, guys? Not everything is a goddamn science experiment that you can measure and weigh and have hard data on. Sometimes these things just happen. And that's what happens at a loop there. So I'm waiting, trying to get in there. But I'm trying, right? You got to give me the fucking... I got to give myself the credit. I'm trying. I'm, you know... Anyways. Waiting around. She seems like a fucking pisser. Like, her and her... She's talking to her dad. Like, they're sitting, like, just shooting. I kind of, like, wedged my way in there because Eric was talking to him. And then we were just sitting across from each other in this little area, kind of bullshitting all of us so I can try and break the ice with her. But she's talking to her dad like he was her friend, like her buddy. Like, they're just, like, not, like, dick jokes, but just, like, ah, shut the fuck up. And she, like, they were just, you know, they were very, like just chill. Like, they seem like fucking fun, like, easygoing kind of people, which made me even like her even more. I'm like, God, her dad's a fucking comic, whatever. So I'm waiting, and finally, the whole fucking day, I had a perfect opportunity. I'm like, go. And I just didn't get up. And then she went in the fucking room to watch her dad set, who I think he did like fucking 15 minutes or something. And Eric's like, let's fucking go. Because I'm like, let's fucking go, dude. It's Sunday night. Let's hang out. Let's go fucking I don't know. That pool place really grew on me. I had a good time fucking shooting pool. I like shooting on an actual regulation billboard table. It's kind of nice. That fucker kicks my ass every time. Roach, he's a good fucking pool player. You hustling, Amos? Hustling me? Showing my ass in there. What more do you want? Every fucking... I got myself suckered like this. Every time he beats me, I'm just fucking a little too much booze, a little too... What did he say? This is all Color of Money. The most underrated fucking Scorsese movie ever. It's a Balabushka. Eddie gave it to me. Great. He fucking beats me every time, this fucker. There was one time, it was down to the... It was like so bad. He was beating my ass, right? I fucking came all the way back. I sunk everything. It was down to just the fucking... He had his last ball before the eight. I think he was stripes. He had one stripe left. I was down to just the eight ball. It was set up that the eight ball was in one corner, and then directly across was his stripe. So if I missed the eight, which was an easy shot, not only did I miss it, I just set him up to sink his ball and the eight ball very easily. They were both right across each other on the same end of the table. And I was making all these, I came back, I was making all these fucking, like, shots. There was a couple I couldn't fucking believe I made these. Even he was like, holy shit, I couldn't fucking believe I was making these shots. And I get to the fucking, it was an absolute god. I was like, here you go, buddy. There was like a fucking, a light coming out of nowhere, shining on the ball. And I fucking missed it by as the blue collar unit of measurement, a cunt hair. I missed it by a cunt hair. Hey, oh, what the fuck you doing? You just fucked up that piece of wood. You dial it back, take the saw back, a cunt hair, right? You go back like fucking two cunt hairs. You get it. Throw that thing out and put a fucking other one. That's how I grew up. That was a unit of measurement, a cunt hair. And he fucking beat me. I was like, good. I went to fucking break the fucking pool cue in twain. Anyways, I go up to the black chick and I'm like, oh my God. It feels like, you know, like those shots in a Spike Lee movie where they're famous, like, it looks like someone's on a fucking, like, one of those people movers at the airport. Like you're moving. Like someone's got you on a dolly. Like, you're not, the people are going through the streets, but they're not walking. It's like they're on a fucking conveyor belt. Like that. I felt like that going towards her. I think, don't they do that in Wayne's World when he first talks to, Tia Carrera? Hey, you want to go somewhere and talk? Remember, he's like wheeling through the room, and his Stacy comes, hi, Wayne. Hi. And he just makes that face as he, like, wheels past her. I swear to God, to the fucking, it feels like someone's pulling, like a Death Star tractor beam pulling you towards the beautiful woman you should be talking to. So I just went up. I don't even know what I said, but I said something like, you're really pretty, and I've wanted to talk to you this whole time, and if I leave here, something along these lines, like, if I leave here and don't talk to you, I'll fucking beat myself up all night. So I at least have to say hi And I think you're beautiful. And here's my number. If you ever want to go get dinner or something or talk around. She was like, and she was super friendly. She's like, oh my God. She's like, yeah. She's like, I just moved here. She's like, my dad lives here and I just moved here from Maryland like last week. She's like, I don't know anybody. I don't have anyone to hang out with. Like, I would love to. Like, that's so sweet. Thank you. And then she, like, we talked kind of awkwardly because the problem is the adrenaline rush is so, I know this sounds fucking retarded. Lucas, just a fucking girl you're talking about. Like, you're getting in a goddamn roller coaster. Well, hopefully later on we make a roller coaster in the fucking bedroom. But she hugged me and I felt her fucking tits mush. Oh, she had big fucking, oh my God. Now watch, I'm going to start dating her. She's going to hear this. Her tits mush against me. Oh, she was so cute. You know how bad I want a fucking black chick. This chick was a doll. I love when they have those fucking big ass door knocker fucking hood ass chick earrings. I love that. I don't know why. It drives me crazy. I love earrings on girls. But it's, you get that initial adrenaline rush, and then it's so hard to follow that. It's so hard to just have a regular conversation because I'm just like, I'm still in like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did this mode. And it's hard for me to fucking relax and be charming. Like, so you wear shoes, huh? Me too. Like, it's awful. That's the part I got to work on. But the more I do it, the less nerve-wracking it gets. So, got her number, and it is now Wednesday, and I haven't heard anything. I have not gotten a, Luke, you're supposed to give her your phone number. Oh, I'm sorry, wait, I fucked up. You're supposed to ask them for their number. I know. And that's when Stryker's like, dude, it's fucking useless to just give them your number because they're not going to call. I'm like, I know, but it's the least I can do. Because I wouldn't want to give my fucking number to some stranger. They don't know who I am. I could be some fucking wacko. Come on, Toots. My name's the Prince. Would a lunatic drive a Porsche like this? My parents just don't understand. How do I know that you're not sick? You could be some deranged lunatic. I said, come on, Toots. My name is the Prince. Would a lunatic drive a Porsche like this? fucking stupid reference. I hate myself. You should hate me too. My parents do. Anyways, it's Wednesday, and I have not heard a thing, but I will say this, in all my dealings with black chicks, they tend to take days. They tend to take a while to hit you up. I'm guessing that ship has sailed, because Wednesday is pretty rough. This was Sunday. I should have heard something probably by Tuesday, but they do take longer. I don't know what it is. It's just a thing. I've noticed that they seem to take a while to hit you up. So I hope so, because she was a doll and seemed like a fucking pisser. And a fun chick to hang out with. And like fun people. Like I would have no problem meeting her dad or her fucking fan. Because they fucking seemed awesome. The guy's a fucking comic. He's like a 20-year-old fucking comic vet. He wasn't 20 years old. He'd been doing it, you know, something like that. Everyone knew his name. Like, oh, T-Rex. His name was T-Rex. But I don't know. They seemed great. I was like, fuck, I hope so. But so far nothing. Probably won't hear anything. So we went to the pool hall. Got my ass kicked. The whole time we're playing pool, there's a fucking chick right across from us at the next table. Who was put together. She had a body and a frame and a demeanor of just a farm girl. Just a fucking, she had big shoulders. She just had one of those hips and legs and asses that was just built. Like, she looked like she could do a fucking good day's work. Like, she'd be out there baling hay and shit. You know what I mean? With those fucking, when they wear those hard working gloves that just show off like the hottest part of your arm. You know, they just make you look fucking like athletic and sexy or like some kind of like 1/80th of a superhero costume. I can't explain it, but, I like the way this chick is. Now, I couldn't really see, because like lighting in pool halls is weird. It's all like dimly overlit, like from the ceiling, and all the light's really just coming from the fucking the rig hanging over the pool table. So it's weird. You can't quite see what everybody looks like, but she looked kind of Jewy cute from where I was. I mean, she was like directly like straight ahead of us. You know, the table across the room from us there. And the whole time I'm looking at her and I'm like, all right, I want fucking, I'm going to get two on this fucking Sunday. It's like doing two mics. I'm going to do two strangers girls. So finally I'm waiting. And I finally just walked over and just started fucking talking to her. And as I got closer, she wasn't quite as attractive. She had braces and she kind of looked like she was retarded. I don't know. But she looked, I couldn't tell if she was 21 or 31. I couldn't tell. It was a white chick. Wasn't particularly attractive, but great body. I don't know. Seemed like a sweet girl. So I actually got her fucking number. And I started to, and I could tell right away that night. I mean, I didn't text her like immediate, but like, you know, like it was like 9, 10 o'clock. And an hour later, I was like, hey, nice to meet you, Bob. And we kind of had a couple like back and forth. And she didn't seem like she had a whole hell of a lot to say. A lot of like one word answers and LOLs. Like, yeah, LOL. Cute LOL. Okay, LOL. Like this kind of shit. Didn't seem like a fucking back and forth intellectual Didn't seem like she was all too into it. So I left it at, see, now this is I'm a fucking, see, I'm a gent. I know how to handle this thing. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to bed. If you want to talk tomorrow, hit me up. I'll be bored at work. If you're bored at work too, let's text and we can like talk tomorrow. Never heard anything. I left it up to her. And then I took her number out of my phone so I wouldn't bother her anymore. See what I mean? So ladies in Los Angeles, if you hear, don't be afraid to give me your number. I can handle it. I won't bother you incessantly. I get the point pretty quick. So long story short, I'm 0 for 2 on complete strangers that I was terrified and dragged my ass to walk up to and talk to has netted me nothing. I tried. I did the best I could. When is it my turn? When is it Dwight's turn for some consideration? You two always sided against me. Always thought you were better. Remember this boy's life? I started... Oh, boy, do I got enough fucking time to get into this? God damn it. Where are we at here? I spent this entire episode complaining about food and restaurants. I don't know how to make a restaurant. 46 minutes. Wow. I wasn't particularly interested in Defiant Ones on HBO. I don't know why, because it seemed like it's right up my alley. I just... Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine, I don't know. I just didn't feel like I knew enough about either of them to particularly give a shit. I mean, I like pop culture history and stuff like that. But whatever. I started watching it, and it hooked me in like 10 minutes. I'm like, fuck. All right, here we go. So the show is about... I didn't know Jimmy... Now, I knew that he owned Interscope. I knew him as like a fucking music mogul kind of thing. I didn't know that... He started out as a producer in the studio and shit. And he worked on Born to Run and all this kind of stuff, and all these influential rock albums. And it has Jimmy Iovine's, it's really well put together. It's very well edited, and they did a fucking great job on it, honestly. Even if you're not into that sort of thing so much, but it has him and Dre's individual career tracks, and then they intersect down the road around Death Row era and start working together. So the first two episodes is about Dre and Jimmy coming up in the world. And they get to the fucking, in one of Dre's sections, they get to when they're laying down the NWA's album. And there's so much like crazy footage of people like with like video cameras and shit from the 80s, all this kind of behind the scenes shit. And I know I'd heard this before, but I always forget this part. Eazy-E was like, He was like the fucking the Sid Vicious of rap, you know, like Sid from the Sex Pistols. Like he had no talent. Like Sid Vicious couldn't even play guitar. He couldn't even play an instrument. They just thought he looked cool, so they threw him on stage. But he had such fucking stage presence and shit like that and charisma, people loved him. But he had nothing to show for it. He's just a kind of guy. Like he didn't write any of his raps. He was so bad. They're trying to put down his line. I mean, to his credit, he was just like a drug dealer, and they were just using him as for like the money, or as like the hype man kind of thing. He wasn't really supposed to be a rapper, but they're like, you should rap. So they kind of like wheeled him out, like they wheeled out Hugh Jackman's double in Prestige. Remember, he was just like a drunk that happened to look like. So they have to try to make him into a performer, and he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. So he's in the studio trying to lay down these tracks for like rapping. That was like the whitest, nerdiest sounding thing I've ever said. They had him in the studio trying to put down his words for rapping. You know how they spit lyrics, homie? He's in there trying to do it. And it was just like, if you know anything about the if you read that book, was The Disaster Artist, or I'm sure it'll be in the movie coming out with which was an awful trailer and did absolutely nothing for me. James Franco's playing Tommy Wiseau in the book movie of, or the movie version of the book, Disaster Artist. I don't think, there's no way it'll be any way as good as the book. The book is fucking hilarious if you're a fan of The Room and Tommy. But it was just like that. Like Tommy would have to do these line readings and do like 40 takes. And Eazy couldn't get through like one fucking line. He'd be like, I'm going down the street and you drive past me and I pull my gat on you. Shit. It was so fucking funny. Every time, he couldn't get through one line. They'd have to like stop it in the booth. Dre would be like, take that over again. It's blah, blah, blah. He'd be like, it's showing him just blowing he couldn't even get to one fucking line of like rap dialogue. He would blow it every time. He would go shit at the end. It was fucking hilarious. It was like, take two. I can walk down the street, you drive by me in a car, I pull out the gun and I point shit. that was fucking cracking me up. I'm just like, this guy had like, he had zero like actual ability. And then they cut to, in another episode, they show how fucking Tupac, they get to the Tupac part part. And this is great because I love that Evolution of Hip Hop on Netflix. It was fucking amazing, that documentary. It was great. But it ends at like sort of the beginning of gangster rap. I'm like, where's the rest? There's another 20 years of rap you guys didn't deal with. And this is like really getting into it and getting into it like real nuts and bolts, which was cool. It was like really showing how all this stuff progressed and how these guys got famous and got into it and everything. But it shows fucking Tupac come in when he is laying down the goddamn the vocal track for California Love, which they said again, how hard is this? But he came in the studio and like and he wrote like three fucking songs in one night and laid them down and nailed them in like one almost like one take each. And when he fucking lays down his verse for Cal, which I hate that song. I was never a fan of that song. I like Tupac. I generally like all those guys. I got a lot of issues with gangster rap, of course, but some of it is undeniable, and some of it's all right. But Tupac lays his fucking lyric. It is amazing. Like the fucking just like the fuck how hard he brings it in the fucking studio. He's like fresh out of jail, California Dream. He's in like he's going into a fucking boxing match. It comes out of him so fucking effortlessly and like strong. And then you see Easy just like standing there like he's trying to read a fucking like an eye chart that's fucking 10 yards away with both of his hands on the side of his headphone, just kind of like squinting. He's like, I walk down the street and it, shit. It's like fucking, I couldn't believe the difference. Because like, I'm not one of these. Oh, like, I don't hate rap. There's a good handful of hip-hop that I like. And I can't say this. In general, I don't think much of it, at least nowadays, and even back then in some circles, it didn't take much to rap or do a rap song. But the guys that really are good, like the fucking Wu-Tang, what was I listening to the other day? On one of my old mixes, it goes from Pinky Ring from fucking Wu-Tang into don't ask me why, into that song, but I can make you bad rock, that has like five different people on it, including an early Nicki Minaj appearance. And from one song to the next, the lyrical prowess of Wu-Tang is like, you can't listen to it and not be like, some of these fucking rhymes are just, what is it, the blind couldn't verify the authenticity. I was just like, I forget which guy it is, it's towards the end of the song, but the one fucking verse from this guy is like, fuck, it's like actual poetry. Like, if you gave me a week, I couldn't have put these fucking words. And they flow so good, and like they're cool, and they work. It's not just like some shitty like Kanye West when he rhymes the same word at the end of a sentence three times in a row and calls it a rhyme. Like this shit like interlocks like fucking Legos. And then you get to this Bedrock song, and it's so, let's buy a place with all kind of space. You be the judge, and I be the case. That's one of the fucking guys, bro, who's a fucking Joe Butter, or one of these fucking dudes. Like, Drake is decent. He can rhyme sometimes. Here we go. Luke, you talk like you're some kind of fucking rapper, hip-hop expert. What the fuck do you know? I'm just telling you what I hear. I don't know. I still have common sense. I don't have to be a fucking, I don't have to be goddamn Twista to fucking, you know, criticize something that I hear. But just like, some people are just, you gotta admit, they got it. They're good. And others just don't. They just did get into it because like they were friends with another rapper. Like, yo, I could do that, and they put this awful shit together. But so they're talking about Dre, and like, Dre's an impressive guy, and he's a fucking guy that just like you watch this whole thing, and there's all the oppressive whitey and racism and every oppressive whitey and racism, whatever the fuck. That's everyone's problem. And Dre just like he worked hard. He didn't, you don't ever once, he takes responsibility for all the bad and dumb shit that he did and is like apologetic for it. Didn't blame like, you know, society against the black man for, no, he's like, I did it, I fucked up, it was dumb, I deserved to get in trouble. And it's like, look how successful this guy is. Do you think maybe your attitude, people out there, I'm not gonna address any specific group of people, I'll just say everyone out there, you know, if you work hard, And you don't sit there and blame everyone else and everything else, and manufacture problems for your fucking for your lot in life. You think you'll get ahead and do better? This fucking guy's attitude is just like it's. I'm like, why can't anyone be like this fucking guy? You know what I mean? Like, he just did what he was supposed to do. He worked fucking hard. And the guy was successful, and he didn't sit there and fucking blame everybody else. You know, it was fucking great. Conversely, the song, this is great. Oh, Ice Cube, this fucking asshole. I can't fucking stand this guy. He wrote Fuck the Police. Get this. Ice Cube wrote, Now he was I think he wrote all Easy E's rhymes. They said Easy E didn't write anything until like the last like year of his life. He couldn't string two fucking words together. He should have been around today. It would have been fine. But Ice Cube wrote "Fuck the Police" after I forgot the other dude's name. I was friends with Dre. The guy's pretty funny too. This like producer guy. I forget his name. Brandon probably. He's probably fucking punching his goddamn fucking leg because I don't know who this is. But they had this really early model of a paintball gun that looked just like a fucking shotgun. And that famous interview where they're talking to NWA, like MTV's kind of interviewing them. They're all sitting around in the studio and they're like, yo, AZA the gangsta and shit, and they're just talking about all like the bad things they do. And he's sitting there with just, it looked like a fucking machine gun. And there's a really famous shot where he points it right down the fucking barrel of the fucking lens on the camera. That thing was a fucking paintball gun this whole time. It looked like a shotgun. So Dre, who admittedly said this is fucking stupid, and this dude would go on the freeway with this gun and shoot cars with it, with a fucking paintball. People thought they were shooting at him. So people started calling. One night, somebody called the cops, and this, like, thinking that they were a fucking armed shooter on the freeway, this, like, a whole fucking squad of cops descends on pulls them over, drags them out of the fucking car, puts their face in the fucking car. I mean, the cops got really rough with them because they thought they were an active fucking shooter in a car. And they got arrested, and Ice Cube was mad that the fucking police arrested them. You're like, yo, they took my friend, they laid him on the street, threw him up against the wall, put handcuffs on him. Like, yo, man, what are they? Like they fucking terrorists. Like, hey, fucking asshole, what if they were out there with a real gun? Do you not want the police to respond? Yeah, like once it wasn't, they didn't get that much trouble because it turned out to be a paintball, and they got trouble. And Dre and whoever this other dude was, that was like his friend, I don't know, he's some kind of like producer or something. They both were like, it was fucking stupid. He's like, I don't blame the kid. He goes, the cops got kind of rough. I can't blame him. Like, that's Dre's attitude. And Ice Cube was mad that Dre spent that weekend in jail. So he wrote, fuck the police for arresting possible fucking shooters on a freeway. That's why he wrote, fuck the police. It wasn't like Dre was walking home in a suit with a briefcase in the business district. And the cops pulled over and were like, hey, you Negro. And fucking, you know, hit him with a baton. And to, like that I can understand. That's why he wrote fuck the police. Fucking hysterical. This is the same asshole. He's sitting there in an NWA shirt. This is the same fucking asshole that came down on Bill Maher last, or a month or two ago, or whatever the fuck, whenever that was, when Bill Maher said the N-word flippantly as a badly thought of joke, and then came on there and lectured him about the N-word while Ice Cube was in a group called Niggas with Attitude. It was called NWA. So that everyone in the country and on the planet, when they were this huge fucking group, like a worldwide force, had to say the word nigger to fucking talk about who they were. What's the name of the group? Niggers with Attitude. What? So you made everyone say it because you put the N-word right in the fucking group's title. And then you're going to come down on Bill Maher for saying the N-word. Do you see the fucking hypocrisy in this, you asshole? Fuck Ice Cube. I can't stand that fucking self-righteous fucking prick. This fucking, oh my god, he is a racist. He hates white people. Ice Cube does not like white people. George Bush doesn't give a shit about black people. Remember Kanye West said that. Ice Cube, he's a fucking segregationist. He hates fucking whitey. Fuck that, I can't stand him. And then like, I'm telling you, like, just like Dre is such a fucking, he's just a businessman. He's just a business. He's a fucking Molignon. He just gets shit done. I don't know. I wish more fucking people were like everyone. I don't, regardless of race and everything else. What else do I have to say about this edit? God, I get so fucking worked up. I get so fucking worked up talking to you guys. I can hardly speak. I get so worked up hollering at you guys. I can hardly speak. After the job, we'll go down to the beach. We'll roll around and stand with all of you. You'll find me a different character down there. Whatever. More. Two more quick things to yell about race. I barely have the energy to address this Detroit movie that's coming out this week. Catherine Bigelow, who I really like, she made Zero Dark Thirty. She made fucking Point Break. Bunch of great flicks. Talented filmmaker. Is making Detroit about the Detroit, was it the race riots of 67? It's starring John Boyega, who was you know, in Star Wars, and is constantly... This is the same guy that was complaining about Game of Thrones, saying there wasn't enough black people in it. And he won't watch it because white people are boring. It's okay to say that. Holy Jesus Christ, can you imagine if a white person said that about a black cast of fucking people? Holy shit. But it's fine when this fucking asshole says it. This asshole's ruining Star Wars with his fucking lame character. He's in it. And it's already getting middling reviews. Apparently it's not all that great. But I'm looking to... These fucking liberal assholes. Looking through the fucking reviews and everything for it. And it's like, saying what a timely movie it is and how relevant it is. Because black people, they're so oppressed right now. Because I guess because Donald Trump is in office. Somehow black people are oppressed. But I don't understand. We just had 8 fucking years of a popularly elected black president. And like Donald Trump's been in office 6 fucking months. And they're putting out Detroit. Basically saying that times haven't changed from 1957 until now. What the fuck are you talking about? What? Why do we need this movie today more than ever? Wake the fuck up. Black people have never had it better. Everything is fine. If people weren't running around just trying to make an issue out of everything. This is what happens. When people are just on Twitter and everything else complaining about this shit and making a fucking such non-issues out of everything. And just finding like the fucking scary racism around every goddamn nook and cranny of their fucking life. It builds up and makes this false atmosphere that it's the fucking antebellum South. And it is so not in real life and not on Twitter and not on the small fucking fraction of this. Why this shit is dangerous. Because it's a smaller fraction of people that just go racism, 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 prejudice, oppression, oppression, racism everywhere. It's a small group, but when they constantly, like, what does he say about the fucking, the sand people in Star Wars? The sand people scare easy, but they'll be soon be back, and in greater numbers, Obi-Wan. That's what it's like. They're like the sand people. You know, they make all this, they're not that many, but they make all this fucking noise, and they start getting together. Everyone's like, man, these guys are right. It's racism everywhere. And it's just like when everyone watches every fucking incident that happens in the goddamn country like a hog, there it goes. Oh, there's a black person getting arrested again. Yeah, well, he shot someone, and he shot at the police, and they shot him back. No, I know. Yes, I'm aware. There are incidents where cops that fuck up and murder innocent people, or there's bad cops that beat. Like when cops fuck up and are out of line and are so blatantly do shit, like they should get in trouble. Of course. But because that happens sometimes does not mean it happens all the time and every time. And that's where people have taken it now. I can't fucking believe it. Whatever. That's all I got on that. And then I see. Oh, God damn it! They're casting Deadpool 2. They cast Domino, who I was always a fan of in the X-Force comics. She was fucking hot. I don't know what she is. She was like white, like literally like white, like your bed sheets. She had this weird skin color, just like Mystique was blue. Domino was like white. And she had this big black fucking like patch over her eye. She was sexy as balls. She was like an assassin or something like that. And she was always fucking around with Deadpool and X-Force and all those guys. They cast her in Deadpool 2, which I'm mildly excited for. I didn't really give a shit about Deadpool. I kind of like what they did with it. I like the subversive nature of it. It was at least they took it in a different direction. I didn't really give a shit about it, but I don't like Ryan Reynolds and I don't even like Deadpool that much. But what good for them? At least they tried something different. But I am excited to see Cable, who's always one of my favorite characters. I'm psyched that Josh Brolin is fucking playing him. I'm psyched for Cable in Deadpool 2. So they're going to bring in Domino, and they cast like some black chick with a giant afro. That's not what she fucking looks like. Look, wouldn't you need everybody to be white? No, and it's you can't bring this up without hearing this bullshit. What's the matter, white guy? You know a movie of just white guys in it? You get offended? LOL when the fucking black person gets cast? Oh, no, the character's not black. She's not black. She wasn't black in the book. She didn't have a giant afro. I read comic for 25 fucking years. I want these things to come and be put on the screen and look like they do in the book. Like I've read my whole life. I can't wait to see what happens when they make a real life version of it. It's exciting. And they go, they make a black Nick Fury. They make a black Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four. And that was a black Domino, like for no reason. Why? There's plenty of black characters. Why can't the fucking... If it's not a big deal, then where's the white Luke Cage movie? Then make Black Panther white. Make him a white guy. Oh, it's no big deal. The race shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. This kid. Okay, then give me a white Black Panther guy. Oh, wow, that's a fucking problem, huh? How interesting. I can't stand his shit. I don't have a problem with black superheroes. It's fine. I don't give a shit. But don't make white ones black. That fucking drives me nuts. That's not what they look like. If they took Cyclops and put him in a big fucking fat guy with a mohawk, that's not what he looked like in a comic book, did he? So that's the fucking issue. It's not even really the race. It's just fucking, it's not correct. That's not correct. It's a prick. Oh, that annoys me. I mean, the chick looks fucking hot. Good for her. But it's not Domino. Come on, man. Fuckers. Stupid. Annoying. fucking sweating. I'm in my car and air conditioning, and I'm still sweating. I still have another... I could probably do another 45 goddamn minutes. Where are we out here? I'm at just about an hour. I'm almost to work. What do I got in this other... I just keep backing up because I don't have all this... I haven't gotten any of this shit. I have like 3 pages of shit. I could almost do a whole separate show just to get rid of this... these little fucking clingers here. Oh, the Juicy J verse. It's Led Zeppelin. Shit! I don't have fucking... Shit! Like Eazy-E used to... I want to get a sound drop of that and just put it... Shit! That's my favorite thing ever. Oh, that dude. God damn it. Okay, I'll do this one quick just to get this one out of the way. I was in 7-Eleven the other day. And this will close out the show here. Because why not? The theme of this thing has been complaining about restaurants and service places in L.A., so... I know, this fucking cough. My throat's drying up. I can't get rid of this fucking cough. My cold's been gone for 9 days, and I'm still coughing like fucking Doc Holliday. I'm dying of tuberculosis. That was the Dennis Quaid version of him when we were just talking about this with Scotty. But why? I need to see Wyatt Earp again. You know, you guess who's in that movie? Me. That's what Scott was talking about. Kirk Fox. I got a little part in it. What was he, like the Frisco Kid or something? Kirk Fox is in that movie. That's how him and Sizemore knew each other, because Sizemore's in it too when I did that thing with them. I went to 7-Eleven, and it's the one over. I stopped there on the way to the Golds over here in Venice, which is just, Venice is just a giant, basically an open-air mental asylum full of crazy homeless people and hippies and weirdos and artists and fucking liberals. But stopped in there to get my fucking metrics bar or whatever the fuck and a drink thing. And I'm in line, and there's this, now every 7-Eleven, I feel terrible for these people, because they work hard, and they don't deserve this. They are hardworking immigrants, almost always Pakistani or Indian, that work at these 7-Elevens. Oftentimes, they're middle-aged kind of guys, just working their ass off, trying to achieve the old American dream, you know what I'm saying? Which we're not going to get under Trump, man. Now it's gone. Fuck this fascist, oppressive America. But, they got to deal with homeless people, and just fucking, you know, these fucking jackasses all day. These poor bastards. And I walked in, and this fucking guy looked miserable. He's probably like 50, working at the 7-Eleven. Probably like 50. And he's just like staring. It was hilarious. Like staring straight ahead with this dead look in his eye. Like, my life sucks. I should have stayed in Pakistan or wherever. And this fucking lady comes in. This big, fat fucking... you know what she looked like? She looked like... Don't ask me how I know this. She looked like Harvey Fierstein in... What was it, Hairspray? What was it one that they would do live that had Ariana Grande just looking fucking just edible from head to toe? God damn it, she is so fucking pretty. I love her. Go, you fucking prick, it's green. God, she's so fucking cute. But it looked like Harvey Fierstein. It was like this fucking, I don't know if she was like Jewish or whatever. This big fat one. She had one of those asses where she walks completely like almost 90 degrees hunched over because her ass is so big. And she comes in this like fucking, like big like Janine from Ghostbusters glasses with the little like fucking thing that goes around her, like her neck, you know, the thing so the glasses don't fall. Like this big arm full of books, just coming in the door. Like the whole like she's shaped and she walks like a T-Rex. That's the best way I can describe it. And she was just like this like 50-year-old obnoxious like business lady. She's like, "How's it going?" She's like, "I'm here for the inspection." I swear, like how she talked. She's like, "I'm just here for the inspection. How's everything going?" And this guy's like, "Fine." He just does not want to deal with this shit. I'm like, "Wait, I'm just in line watching this." And she's like, "How's everything going?" And she's just trying to make small talk with this guy, and he could not give less of a shit. And he's like, "Fine, everything's good." And she's like, how are you guys? Busy?" And he's like, "Yep." Because the place was like, she's like, "Oh, it looks busy in here." Because there was like fucking 40 people in the goddamn 7-Eleven. He's like, "Yeah, pretty busy." She's like, "Well, that's good. Well, better busy than not, right?" And now what they say, good, it's better to be busy than not busy. And she's saying this, I guess she's like walking back into that little like fucking, the little office back there where everyone desperately wants there to be a bathroom but never is. She's like on her way back there. And the guy's just like, the look he gave this fucking woman. He wanted to kill her. I wanted to kill her. She just seemed like an obnoxious pain in the ass district manager there to do some kind of like, you know, 7-Eleven inspection. And the guy, and I'm just like, who is, I understand people make small, it's just like shit, like talking about the weather in an elevator with somebody, just to make small talk, but like, just the way she said it and why she said it. She's like, "Well, better to be busy than not busy at all, right?" And I'm like, It's a 7-Eleven on a major street in LA, lady. Like, it's not a mom and pop shop with one. And their business lives or dies on the fucking the amount of business that goes through the place. It's a 7-Eleven. They're gonna be fine. Even if one store, it's a 7-Eleven. They're gonna be fine. You know, even if one store closes, it's not like the whole place is gonna close. It's turning into fucking Florentine. But I'm like, why would he give a shit he's getting paid whether it's busy or not, lady? Wouldn't he rather be way less busy because the freak factor and ratio of fucking crazy homeless people he would have to deal with would also be proportionately lower? Do you really think he gives a fuck if there's plenty of people in there or not in the 7-Eleven where people just come in and get annoying lotto tickets and shit? The guy probably just wants to fucking, like, stand there and have a customer every couple minutes, then a never-ending line, which at all times there's at least two or three fucking wackos just, like, twitching and fucking rubbing their nose and shit and, like, crazily running their hands through their fucking hair while they wait to get up to the fucking counter and empty their pockets to pay for a 40. And they got, like, three quarters, two pennies, a couple of fucking rabbit's teeth, some fucking a lock nut washer, you know, fucking rabbit bones and shit, like, and we gotta sit there and fucking wait while this asshole tries to pay for a beer. It's like, let me put back the pack of gum. I don't have enough to pay for this and the beer. It's like, I just want to get my fucking metrics bar and go and work out and sweat my balls off in this gold and stare at incomprehensibly hot, sexy, porn star-bodied women everywhere in that fucking gym. Oh, holy, that place is fucking brutal, man. It is making up for all the years, the 15 years of working out in public gyms where there was scarcely any ever attractive women at any of those LA shitnesses that I ever went to. Almost never. And this place is like, in fucking 4 months of going, has made up for my entire other career of fucking working out and not having any hot chicks. God, fucking place is unbelievable, undeniable. It's fucking crazy in there. You're going to go in there, whack off before you work out. I'm telling you. Especially if you're like right in your line of sight. I mean, I can't, like, fake titties, just like 0% body fat, athletic, gorgeous women wearing next to nothing and looking hot and getting all fit. You're just like, fuck. Ooh, I want to fucking, like, they lay down on their fucking stomach and they do that leg curl machine where they like the thing goes behind their ankles as they're laying down and they curl, like, it's for like your hamstrings or whatever. And they're just laying there. And then it makes the way they lay and the way the bench is shaped, it makes their ass all, like, just fucking puff up. Like, you just want to climb on top of them. You know what I mean? Like they're doing, like when a chick lays on her stomach and you climb on top of them and you bang them like that. Oh, you just want to fucking... And all they're wearing is little yoga pants. You just want to rip a fucking... Okay, sorry. I'm getting out of control. I'm fucking losing it. So fuck that regional manager. Leave the guy alone. He doesn't give a shit how many fucking... No one cares how many people go in and out of 7-Eleven. If anything, he'd like it less busy. Because people suck and are annoying, especially in that area. Lincoln Boulevard and... I couldn't even tell you what that crossroad is right there. It's some weird kind of street. And that'll do it for this episode. Episode 101. We got through it. A lot of complaining. It was very cathartic for me. I feel better. Glad I was able to get that off my chest. So watch out if you come to LA and you want to eat. Expect bad service. Expect shitty food. Expect your food to be, mediocre. And not, take forever to come, take your order, bring stuff, even just to get your drink. That's the part that annoys me. Like, you're sitting there for 10 and 15 minutes, and no one has even addressed that you're sitting there yet. Like, at least give me, like, a beer. Right? Like, a little bit goes such a long way. Just a little bit of effort goes such a long way with me. If it's obviously busy, and you see me sitting there, and you go, I'll be right with you, guys. I'll be right with you. And then, like, 9 minutes goes by, and you go, I'm so sorry, I'll be right with you. That's fine. I can work. Just at least acknowledge that I'm fucking there. Give me something, for Christ's sakes. Okay, I got it out. I'm done. Next episode, hopefully, will be more fun and more creative. More relatable stories will be around. So I'll see you at 102, Electric Boogaloo. Everybody have a good week. Kick ass. Make money. Get that dick. Get that puss. Don't eat too much sugar.